Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Michelle Tam, author of the new cookbook, Ready or Not, 150-plus make-ahead, make-over, and make-now recipes by Nom Nom Paleo. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better-tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands. Because by sun-drying many of their spices and de-stemming their chili peppers by hand, Spice Islands uses a craft approach to capture the volatile oil, which gives flavor to each spice. And whether it be Saigon cinnamon, dillweed, bay leaves, garlic powder, cumin, or turmeric, they maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes. And pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers. And now, back to the podcast. And I remember meeting you at, I think, the IACP Food Conference probably at least 5 or 6 years ago when Nom Nom Paleo was just breaking out onto the scene before you had your first book, which was Nom Nom Paleo Food for Humans, come out 4 years ago. So first, I just wanted to ask you, what's changed in the paleo market since then? How are people sort of thinking of this food differently than they were when you started the blog and the brand?
Well, definitely, I mean, people like me who've been doing it for a while are way less hardcore about it, because I think we've all learned that it has to be sustainable and enjoyable, and nobody wants to be around someone who's like a crazy paleo evangelist, and I learned this quickly because my sister told me, she's like, you know what, I know you feel better, but you're super annoying, and I can't hear you talk about this anymore, and so I think since then, I think most of us have chilled out, and you know, we just want people to find out what works best for them and is most sustainable. And I just want people to cook their own meals because I know I didn't really do it until I started paleo, because that's when I kind of started paying attention to what I was actually feeding myself and my family and how I actually felt when I ate certain foods, which I totally didn't even think about before I went paleo, which is crazy.
Yeah, I love how this book really sort of uses the paleo guidelines as a way into talking about just cooking for yourself and cooking more at home. People always want to be more mindful about their eating, but schedules and logistics inevitably seem to get in the way. How does this book attempt to solve that? And what are sort of the biggest takeaways that you give people to help them learn to cook more for themselves and have it not be so overwhelming?
So I think with our book, we wanted to take kind of all the excuses out of like, I can't cook dinner tonight. So, you know, we grouped all the recipes by your state of readiness. So some people love to plan ahead. So we have a section for people who are meal planners or who like to get a head start on their cooking week. We have a not ready section for people who are never ready, which is kind of where I feel like I'm always in. So all those recipes, you don't need anything, you know, made ahead of time, and everything is done in like 45 minutes or less, some as fast as 15 minutes. And then we have recipes in the middle, which are kind of ready recipes, which are kind of the sweet spot where I think most people should be, where they've made a sauce or they've made some sort of dish earlier in the week, but it can be repurposed in, you know, kind of different and exciting ways, you know, in the middle of the week. But really, we just wanted to have like lots of pictures in the book. So every single recipe has a step-by-step picture. So people will know, like for newbies or for kids, they kind of know exactly how the recipe is supposed to go. And it's kind of like a magic trick, like, hey, here are the raw ingredients. And if you follow these steps, like presto chango, you'll have like a yummy meal at the end. But I think like as Sam Sifton wrote, you know, a few months ago, and I, after reading his quote, I was like, oh, that is so true. Like cooking is just something that should be a lifelong habit, and you just do it until it's something you do. And you just have to stop making excuses. It's like brushing your teeth. You have to just do it.
I think people have a lot of misconceptions, too, about what eating paleo looks like. I think people sometimes just envision it sort of like a hunk of meat on a plate surrounded by some nuts and seeds. But it's actually, there's a lot of vegetables. There's a lot of fermented vegetables. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the building blocks of eating this way and why it's appealing to people who aren't even doing it necessarily in a really strict fashion?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first started going paleo, and I think when a lot of other people started going paleo, like several years ago, like most of us are kind of, we're mostly vegetarian because that's what we thought was the most healthy way to eat. And so when we're like, oh, we can eat like meat and bacon again, like we kind of overdid it. And so I think that's kind of the reason why everyone's like, oh, paleo is all meat. But I think now for me, like my plate is mostly vegetables. And then I'll probably have a palm-sized portion of some sort of, you know, healthy protein. And that may be fish or it could be eggs. It doesn't necessarily have to be red meat. And I try to eat some fermented vegetables because I know it's important to, you know, get healthy probiotics in my gut because that's super important. And the vegetables help feed, you know, your healthy gut bacteria. And I think you should have some healthy fat. So that's kind of how I... like my, that's how my plate looks these days. Whereas before I would probably have it mostly piled high with like a big pile of like whole grain pasta or some sort of like low fat, non-fat grain and like not that many vegetables. I think when I was a vegetarian, I didn't eat as many vegetables as I do now.
Before we continue, a quick word from our podcast sponsor, Spice Islands. For noticeably richer flavors in your recipes, opt for premium spices from Spice Islands. By sun-drying many of their spices and de-stemming their chili peppers by hand, Spice Islands uses a craft approach to deliver the most authentic and intense flavors possible. They also take the extra steps to ensure richer flavors, like waiting for their dill weed to bloom before harvesting, or milling their garlic to a true powder so it doesn't add grittiness to your dishes. Better yet, Spice Islands maintains a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. So whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands and taste the difference in every bottle. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, including one for spiced maple carrots, a quick simple side to complement any meal. That's spiceislands.com/clever and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers. And now back to the podcast.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, often families too, or even if you're just cooking for friends, you're not navigating anymore just one set of dietary restrictions, but sort of the intersections of different things people are doing. Someone has a gluten intolerance and someone else is, you know, doing dairy-free and someone else is vegetarian. And we're sort of, I think, looking more and more for those dishes or those meals that are really good for everyone and that are really accessible. How do you recommend cooking for a mixed crowd? And what are some of your go-tos in a situation like that?
So I think in a mixed crowd, for sure, if I'm having a dinner party, I definitely ask everybody, like, what are, you know, your dietary restrictions? And I will do my best as a host to kind of make sure everybody has something that they can eat. But I definitely make it kind of buffet style. So then people can kind of pick and choose what they want. But definitely like a huge platter of like roasted vegetables. And then, you know, healthy proteins, depending on, you know, where you kind of are on like the whole dietary spectrum, like probably some healthy animal protein for paleo people. And then vegetarians, I'd ask, like, are you over lacto? You know, what works for you? But I definitely think if you're having people over, you should feed them well. And it's how they want to eat. You know, most of my friends aren't paleo. I mean, I think for myself, like I do have to be gluten-free. So if I'm cooking in my own kitchen, I'll probably make everything gluten-free. But then depending on my friends coming over, like I'll serve them stuff that I necessarily won't eat just because I don't feel great afterwards. But if my friends feel great eating that, I'm totally cool serving them, you know, whatever they want to eat.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the design of the cookbook and just how amazing it looks. And as you said, you do have these really great step-by-step images. You have really adorable illustrations throughout and these kind of really fun, highly designed pages. as you've worked on your cookbooks and as you've been inspired by other cookbooks out there, sort of what are the things that interest you in pushing the boundaries of what a cookbook can be? And what do you feel like your audience responds to in the projects that you put out?
So definitely the design and the photos and the cartoons are all my husband. So people always think Nom Nom Paleo is me, but it really is a mom and pop operation. Like, I provide the recipes and the snark, and Henry is the design. And he, it's funny because he's really particular about how he wants to design things. But he hasn't actually, before our first cookbook, the only thing he ever designed was like his high school yearbook before that.
Wow.
But I think when we were, I know, crazy.
He's just a prodigy. Like, that's like, amazing.
Yeah, he's very artistic, and it's annoying because he's like, you know, very analytical and creative and like a cool person. So he's like an annoying person in a nice way. But I think when we were creating the cookbook, or at least our first book, and kind of all the stuff we do, like, I'm always like, Henry, it would be really cool if we could do this. And because he is so creative and amazing, he's like, okay, I'll figure out how to do that. Because I was like, I really want step-by-step pictures for stuff. And so that's kind of something that we started, with the blog and then with our app. And then I think when we created our first book, I was like, it would be really fun if we could put in cartoons and just have it just be fun and colorful too. And we've known each other since college, and he's been kind of drawing a version of me since college, because I used to be a character in this cartoon that he drew for the school newspaper. And so he's had experience drawing me for a while, and he's, of course, he can draw anything. So he can draw our kids and himself. But we just wanted it to be fun and not like annoying and scary. Like, cause people are like, oh, I have to, you know, do paleo cause my doctor told me that it's healthier to eat this way. And so we just wanted it to be fun and not intimidating.
Well, it's definitely all of those things. And that's also pretty much the sweetest story I've ever heard about the genesis of a cookbook. So thank you for sharing that. Michelle, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. The new book looks so good.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Check out the book, Ready or Not, 150 Plus Make Ahead, Make Over, and Make Now Recipes by Nom Nom Paleo. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.